6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. First of all, the scripture that we heard this morning comes up really regularly in our lectionary. We read the same passage or the same story from the three different Gospels, each of the three-year cycles. And when the Transfiguration, the Feast of the Transfiguration falls, which is August 6th, when it falls on a Sunday, then we read it then too. And last summer, it fell in August on a Sunday, so you've heard this three times now in a year. That doesn't mean I should preach the same sermon every time. I get that. But there is a central piece of this that I think is so important that we just can never ignore it. Now, there was certainly a lot going on in this passage. You know, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up the mountain, and there he is transfigured. This in and of itself is something majestic and I think unimaginable. Clothes is whiter than anyone can bleach them. Moses and Elijah, out of nowhere, appear with Jesus, and they're talking. We don't know. Mark doesn't tell us what they were doing there, but it's often assumed that Moses represents the law because he certainly gave the law in the Old Testament, and Elijah represents the prophet. So you've got Jesus and the law and the prophets. And then Peter wanted to build his three huts. We're also not told why he wanted to do that. We assume maybe he wanted to hold on to that moment forever, but three huts, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, which left, you know, his two colleagues there out in the cold. So I don't know how long he was planning to stay. But then is the big thing, the voice. I mean, the voice, the big voice. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Now, I always wish we could hear, tone of voice. Is God kind of pleading here? "Listen to him," because no one's paying attention. See, I don't think that's how it is. And I know that I look through translations, as you know I like to do, and I think 18 or 19 of them had an exclamation mark at the end. And one of them had "listen to him" in all caps. So this is like pre-email yelling at you from the paper. "Listen to him!" Did I scare you?
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know that I've done that with a sermon before. I chalked that one up. But the question I keep coming back to then, well, you've heard about me talk before, is what did he say? What are we supposed to listen to? What did he say? So what's going to make this sermon different from other ones I've preached about what did he say is that I'm going to solicit your help. The lucky church is kind of full-ish today. That will help you. Who can tell me something Jesus said? What did Jesus say? We're supposed to listen to what he said. What did he say?
Follow the Ten Commandments.
He said, actually, there are two commandments. What were the two?
Love God.
Love God and love your neighbor. Right. And then in my book, he always adds a third, which is love one another as I have loved you. He said, "This is my commandment." That's in John's gospel. So, yeah, the commandments, especially the big ones. What else did he say?
All the parables.
All the parables. That covers a lot. Would you like to share any of them? I mean, you could just say all the Gospels. No, certainly, but the parables were powerful, and we should listen to them, and every one of them had a meaning. Some of them are more cryptic than others, but they're all powerful. In fact, after Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, and someone says, yeah, but who's my neighbor? And what does he say? He says, a man was walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He didn't say, well, your neighbor is. That's the exact next line. Who's my neighbor? A man was walking. Don't tell me that. Just tell me the answer. But he doesn't. Because parables are great. What else did Jesus say?
I go to prepare a place for you.
I go to prepare a place for you. That's wonderful. That's a marvelous one. We always read that at funerals. In my house, there are many mansions. What else did Jesus say? Amen. Preach it. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich person to go to heaven. And we have long wanted to explain that by referencing the fact that there is an entrance into the old city of Jerusalem through the wall, an archway, and it's called the eye of the needle. So if we can get a camel through there, but I don't think that's it. I think Jesus is saying, you know, watch out for your money and what it's going to do to you. What else did he say?
He told us to pray the Lord's Prayer.
He did. It's the only prayer he taught. His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray thusly. Thank you. He did. And we do it. Hopefully daily. At least once a week when you come here, right? It's in the prayer book. Now, when I said I wasn't being lazy this week, I actually got thinking about this, what did he say? And I got a red letter Bible out. You know, you're familiar with a red letter Bible. These have the words of Jesus in red. So it's really easy to go through and see what Jesus said. Now, if you don't read the whole thing, you can lose some context. But I went through and read all four Gospels. What did Jesus say? And there are a lot of things he said, it turns out. And I have a lot of them right here. This is 7 pages worth. And this isn't everything. These are just the handful I picked out. I'm going to share a few of them with you because we are supposed to listen, right? Listen to what he says. Well, did you know where discipleship goes? We all know he said, follow me, right? Did you know he said it 21 times? Follow me. He was serious. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Take up your cross and follow me. When somebody was asking about following, and Jesus said, follow me, and he said, well, I can't, you know, I got this funeral, and Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You think he was joking about this? He was not joking. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Taking up your cross, that's something you do proactively. This is not the cross that has been laid on your shoulders, some kind of sickness or whatever it is. We all think we've got our crosses to bear, and we all do. But that's not the cross Jesus is talking about. Take up your cross is a proactive thing. You are going to take up that burden of Jesus Christ and discipleship. Put that on your shoulders and follow. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, some of you may all have a head start on that, about how you think about your family. But for most of us, that's a real challenge. He calls us to repent and prepare constantly. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Unless you repent, you too will all perish. Repentance is turning away from sin and turning towards God, moving towards God. He said a lot of, frankly, really frightening things. I didn't include a lot of them to share with you, but he said a lot of frightening things. Things like, do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. That's kind of scary. I don't want my Lord and Savior saying such things. How about love your enemies? We're not much want to do that, are we? Do good to those who hate you. Some of us have a hard enough time doing good to people we, you know. Enough of that. Back to the hate your mother and father, right? If you hold anything against someone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Listen to him, right? This is hard. Do to others as you would have them do to you. We all know that one. But do we do it? Do we listen? And there's some good stuff, too. Just so you know, just want to affirm there's some good stuff in there. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember, our good deeds are not what save us. Our good deeds are what we do out of response to the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ at work in our lives. But it's important. Later in the scripture, one of the epistles, it says, show me your faith apart from your works. In other words, don't do any works. And I, by my works, will show you my faith. In other words, it is the works that show the faith that is within. But those works don't save you. Nonetheless, do not judge, or you too will be judged. We know that one. Now, something about doing Jesus' will and having faith. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. These are all familiar to you, right? Every one of these is familiar. When I asked for what did Jesus say, every one of you could raise your hand and spew out one or two of these because you know them all. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus talked about outreach and serving others. When the disciples came and there were the 5,000 people and they didn't have anything to eat, and they said, Jesus, send them away. They got to go get food. What did Jesus say? You give them something to eat. He laid that responsibility to feed the people without food on the shoulders of the disciples, his followers. You give them something to eat. That's one of my favorite lines in the scriptures. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. This call to service in the gospel, the call to help and to serve others is powerful and constant. He also had a lot of words of comfort. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He's come to call all of us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I did not come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. Listen to him. Listen to him. Now, you know he talks about money. I'm going to wrap up really soon. You know he talks about money because I tell you that all the time, right? Sometimes I can get tired of hearing it. But there's a lot. This barely touches it. I'm not going to read all these to you. I'm going to read a few. We already got the kingdom, getting through the eye of the needle. Well, by the way, how does he finish that? After we say, well, who can do that? And he says, well, with man, you can't do that. But for God, everything is possible. It's important to keep in mind. Store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where the moths and the vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pay attention to your treasure and your heart. Listen to him. He told the rich young ruler, you remember the story of the rich young ruler, he came and he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, keep the commandments. The guy said, I have been doing that. I'm in the clear. And Jesus said, great. One more thing. Sell everything you own and give the money to the poor and then come follow me. And you know what he did? You think he went and sold everything, gave the money to the poor and followed Jesus? No. He turned around and he went away, Scripture tells us, because he had many possessions. Listen to him. Now, we love to rationalize that one by saying, well, Jesus knew that was his need, not mine, that was his. And I don't think Jesus expects all of us to sell everything we own. But our relationship with money was very important to him. All in all, the message Jesus brought was salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe above all else, that's the one we should listen to. But don't discount the rest of it. Pull your red letter Bible out or go online. You'll find red letter Bibles online. And read what Jesus said. In fact, during Lent, make it your practice to read a couple chapters of the Gospels every day. And you'll get through the whole thing. If you want a guide and some links to the scriptures, it's on our website. But during the course of Lent, you can read the whole thing. Listen to him. Amen.